There's been times in my life that I wasn't always in church on Sunday morning. I was raised in church. Well, I was raised at home, but you know what I mean. I was raised to go to church every Sunday. When I got out from under the rule of my father's house, I thought I had better rules of my own to follow. But I realized the rules at home weren't so bad. And I'm glad today that I'm in God's house. My grandpa used to tell me, when we sat at the table, he'd look at me and say, if I knew what you knew, I'd be preaching. I know he told me on many occasions, throw that brush in the trash can and go preach. Grandpa painted most of his life. He taught my dad to paint. And then I came along and painted as well. But he knew that I had went to Bible school. And I can still see him look at me and say, you need to throw that brush in the can and preach. Well, he didn't live long enough to see what he asked come to pass. Sometimes I wonder if the Lord doesn't just pull a corner of heaven back and let him look. I often hope and think that that would be the case. It's a privilege and honor to share God's word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know what each and every one of these that are here today are going through. And Lord, I know if you speak to them, they'll know it, that they've been spoken to. So maybe you can use my voice today to do that with your word that will not return void. And help each and every one here today that's going through a trial or a battle or a mountain that seems awfully hard to climb. We pray for your will to be done in the life of each and every one here today. In Jesus' name we ask these things. And everybody said, amen. You have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of James chapter 5. James chapter 5. We are looking at steadfastness, being steadfast. Anybody have any clue what that means? What's it mean to be steadfast? Keep going, not give up. Anyone else? Hold your ground. If you're in the service, you're in military, you're in some kind of combat, you're going to want your people with you to stand their ground. Wouldn't be much of an army if they didn't, would it? Steadfastness. Anyone else?
To be still and know that he is still God.
Still. Stay put. Stand fast. Even when you'd like to run away. Or feel like running away. You ever been there? You ever feel like giving up? What's the use? James is encouraging us to be patient. It's hard to be patient when you see everybody else getting seemingly what they want, and you can't have what you want. I don't ask for much, Lord. Why can't I have just a little bit of what I'm asking for? You ever feel that way? You ever feel like you've been passed up? Everybody else seems to be getting what they need. Well, you're not alone. There were many in the Church of Jerusalem that James is addressing here. You're not alone. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husband waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. I like to read that also from the New International Version. We have quite a few different kinds of versions, whichever version that you can understand, it's made a little simple. That's the version you should use. But I think you should always use it in conjunction with the King James to share both of them so you can get both thoughts. Be patient, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop. Patiently waiting for the autumn and the spring rains, you too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Being patient, enduring, endurance, stay put. When we have done our work, we have need of patience to stay for our reward. Pastor, how should I correctly react when I have been treated incorrectly? I think Petey touched on that. Be long-tempered until the coming of the Lord. It's interesting that James talks about the coming of the Lord, even in his day. If James thought the coming of the Lord was near in his day, I wonder what he would think of today. So the sufferer, that's you and me, like the farmer, must wait. Farmers. How many of you know a farmer? How many of you would like to be a farmer? No patience? There's one. Darren, take his name. Get his name there. We need farmers. They plant and they hope to get a gain. There's all kinds of things that happen. Too much rain. Ground is too wet. Can't get in the plant. If there's not enough rain, crops dry up. There's all kinds of things that are against farming. It's tough. I don't know that I'd be a good farmer. I have a little problem with patience. Petey, we're grateful that you were honest with yourself about anger issues. I have trouble in that area too. In fact, about every area I have trouble in. I've got problems with patience. I do got problems with patience. If you see me in a grocery store with a cart and there's two lines and they go all the way back to the Nabisco cookie rack, then you know I'm fussing. If you see me back in there around the cookie rack and there's a line and there's 14 registers and two of them open, I'm doing this. Where's the management? I don't got patience. I worked my way through Bible college, working in a grocery store. We had checkers meetings. We had to memorize all the specials. We had to come in on our own time, memorize the specials. And we were taught that when you see somebody with a cart, if they're not coming your direction, you tell them, hey, I'm open over here. And then that was in the 70s, and I came back to Pennsylvania and stood in line at the grocery store, stood in line at the other box store, I won't tell you the name. I just stand there thinking, you know they could have saved a lot of money if they wouldn't have bought all these registers if they're only going to have two open anyway. I could have saved them a pile of money. I'd sell them registers to somebody that can use them. Hello. Okay, I see you smiling because you got problems with patience too. I guess this is for us today. We got to wait just like the farmer. Plowing, planting, caring for his crop, all means to an end. Why? For a harvest. For a harvest. Verse 8, be ye also, oh, there it is again. James is trying to get our attention. There it is again. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Support your heart, strengthen, let the Lord provide relief, establish, in spite of all the sufferings and the temptations. The coming implies the suddenness of his arrival. When James speaks of the coming of the Lord, it's the suddenness of our Lord's return and urges us to be constantly ready, fixed firmly, set fast. The comforting hope is still the coming of the Lord. We have a comforting hope. We have a blessed hope. We have a purifying hope. Faith, James says, that works is faith at work. Faith that works is faith at work. Verse 9. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge stands before the door. Of course, James is reverting back to the coming of our Lord. He said the coming of the Lord is near. That's why he says the judge stands before the door. That's how near it is. That's what he's trying to let us know. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you'll be judged. For the judge is standing at the door. So don't be grudging one another. Murmuring, complaining. Think about this for a minute. We don't complain about our salvation. We don't complain about Christ. We don't complain about the blessed hope, but we complain about our brethren. James says that we're to be happy, busy about the Lord's work. Have a song in our heart. We'll be getting to that verse. While we work, waiting for the Lord. In our service to the Lord, it should be a happy service and a glad service. Verse 10. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction. And of what? There it is again. Patience. Wow. Really wants to get the message across, doesn't it? Do you think you're better than the prophets? The prophets suffered. They suffered for the Lord's sake. That's why James says, look at the prophets and look at what they were afflicted. They stood loyal to their Lord, but they suffered for it. And so let's take their example, their experience. Looking at that, it should encourage us. They were in the will of God, and yet they suffered. They were preaching, yet they were persecuted. But God cared for them through their suffering. Now here's what the devil likes to do. He likes to convince us that our suffering is a result of sin. That's what he likes to try to do. He likes to try to make you think that the reason that you're in the trial and the battle and the things that's happening to you is because of some kind of sin. That's his job, to try to intimidate you and make you feel bad. That's his job. He thinks that Christians suffer as a result of sin or unfaithfulness. But we've just learned from the prophets, it might well be because of faithfulness. How about that? Suffering because you're faithful to God's house? You know, not everybody's faithful to God's house. Some people think if I just live a good life and I don't cheat or steal or kill anybody, I should go to heaven, right? Be surprised how many Christians think they can sit at home and not go to church. And that's okay. It's not okay. Or maybe you're not reading the same Bible I am. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as a matter of some, but exhorting one another, and even the more so as you see the day approaching. What day? The coming of the Lord. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet him? Some have already met him. I thank the Lord that I've had four parents, but they're all in heaven. Are you ready to meet him? Some suffer because of faithfulness. Don't think for a minute that obedience produces ease and pleasure, because a lot of Christians have been obedient and they certainly haven't enjoyed any ease or pleasure. Our Lord was obedient, and it led him to a cross. He was obedient unto death. Do we think we're better? That we shouldn't be prosecuted, persecuted? We shouldn't suffer? Nobody likes to suffer. Not any of us. Hate suffering. Verse 11. Behold, we count them what? What does your Bible say? Happy when I'm going through trials? Is that what it said? What it said. Hello? It's hard to be happy when you're going through things. That's tough. But I'll tell you what. If you learn the secret of singing when you're going through the trial, you'll be amazed at how it'll turn out. You see, I read someplace in the scriptures where they were imprisoned. Guards standing by them. But in the midnight hours, they learned to sing. Did you read the same Bible I did? And while they were singing, an angel of the Lord came and took the chains off and opened the prison doors, and they walked out because they learned to sing in those midnight hours. When they were going through what they didn't want to go through, nobody wants to go through anything like that. But when you learn to still be able to sing, my mind goes back to David, that first little boy that he had with Bathsheba in that terrible adulterous relationship. He looked forward to his little boy. The little boy was born and he was sick. From the time he was born, he was sick. But David thought he could change God's mind. The prophet already told David, that boy's going to die. He's going to die. But David thought he could change God's mind. David, you don't understand. Of all people, you should know better. You should know better, David. That's why God didn't change his mind. You should know better, David. There's a lot of people out there who don't know no better, but you know better. And when he saw the servants whispering, he knew his baby died. He knew. And you know what he did? He was fasting and praying. He wasn't eating anything because he really thought he could change God's mind. He did everything he could. He fasted and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. Maybe I can change God's mind. But the baby died. David rose up. When it says he rose up, it means he got up off his knees. He went and took a bath. Bible says he put on clean clothes because they were probably all sweaty and dirty from fasting and praying and probably full of ashes. They put ashes on them, on themselves, and they sackcloth and ashes. So he took a bath and he went into the temple to worship. My baby just died. We were looking forward to holding him and caring for him and watching him grow. But he went into the temple and he worshiped. Whew. Be patient when you have to suffer things. You're wondering why you're going through it? I don't know why. Ask the Lord to reveal it to you. When I go through suffering, I say, Lord, what did I do now? Be nice to know why I'm suffering this. He don't always reveal things to you. Sometimes he does, but not always. Let's take one more verse. Let's finish this verse. Behold, verse 11, we count them happy which endure. Now, you've heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful, and he's of tender mercy. Happy to those who endure the Lord's goal. Let's serve our God and endure our trials as those who believe the end will be a crown. You can't persevere unless there's a trial in your life. And in the midst of the trials that we may experience God's blessing, as did the three Hebrew children. You see, if there's nothing to endure, you can't learn endurance. So we need to turn Satan's weapons into a tool for building up our spiritual life. What the devil tries to destroy, the Lord uses for our good. That's why we should be the happiest people on the face of this earth, because there's nothing, nothing in your life that you can mess up that God can't fix. Are you listening to me? There's nothing that God can't fix. Ask the Lord to help you fix it. I've used this illustration many times. When you've had toys that were broke, didn't you give them to your earthly father and say, Daddy, can you fix? Daddy, fix? Haven't you done that? Daddy, fix. Can you fix? You have a heavenly father that does the same thing. And you know what? He's waiting for you to ask him to fix it. When's the last time you've talked to him about fixing something? I'm not talking about emergencies. We're going to get into that next week, Lord willing, about prayer. Some people pray only in an emergency. James says we should be praying all the time. Happy times, good times, bad times. Not just emergency. But a lot of people do that. It's interesting that they can't find time to pray in good times. That's something I just don't do much of. Oh. But let something happen in your life that's bad, and all of a sudden you can find time to pray. Isn't that interesting? And have no time before, but when you have something happen in your life, all of a sudden you can find that time to pray. Wow. That's next weekend, Lord willing. All right, Scotty, you're going to come and sing.